This is Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price with a special electoral report.
Hello, this is Cameron Lohman and Ben Price, Sightlines' chief political correspondent. Welcome to a very special series of Sightlines where we get political about our art. We're in the full throes of municipal electoral campaigns right across Alberta. Here in Lethbridge, we have 3 mayoral candidates and 29 vying for seats on council.
With all those platforms and political promises out there, it can be hard to keep everything straight. Cameron and I will be speaking to candidates about their platforms and how they might affect the arts scene and youth of Lethbridge.
For today's special political report, we're joined by Bill Ginther, who is running to be your next city councillor. Thanks for joining us today, considering your very busy schedule.
Well, you're very welcome. It is a busy schedule, and we're happy to take this opportunity.
That's great.
Well, thank you.
Just to kind of jump in, what made you want to run for council in this particular election?
Well, you know, there's a number of reasons. I think one of the main ones is the usual interest that I and many others have in terms of a concern for fiscal responsibility for the city. I guess all of us are also taxpayers, and we want to make sure that our money is spent well. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that having a background in at least a little bit of business in the past, and I feel like I, you know, could address that issue. But bigger than that is my lifelong interest and concern for the poor and also the homeless. And the whole issue of affordable housing for all is a very important aspect for me. I spent most of my adult life in international relief and development and have had the either pleasure or the responsibility, I guess, to visit about 40 different countries. So I have a pretty good sense of what it looks like to be poor. And so I guess that was one of the main reasons. I can certainly mention more, but I'll stop there in case you have anything else to ask about that.
Another one of the first things I wanted to see what your thoughts were on Lethbridge's, say, 3 most pressing issues and what sort of attention you'd give them if you were elected.
Yeah, and I would have to go back again to the affordable housing issue. One of the things I've heard over the years is that we don't really have an issue with people being homeless. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm the executive director of the Lethbridge Soup Kitchen, and our building is attached to the homeless shelter, which has 131 beds, which are full every day. Mm-hmm. And so when we say we don't have a homeless problem, well, we certainly do. And I think it's one of those things that during this campaign, I want to make sure that people are aware that that is an issue, and it's something we should all be concerned about. So that would be the one. The other one, of course, is the whole issue of recycling. Mm-hmm. I don't see that near as significant as being there for the poor, being an advocate for the poor. But we do have, it seems to be a bit of a difficult time deciding on an appropriate recycling program. So I'm really one that, puts a lot of emphasis on an affordable and sustainable and a, what other word could I use, viable curbside recycling program. And I'm really in favor of the type where you bring in a bin, usually a blue bin, where you can put all of the recyclables there. You don't sort them. Right. And that then results in private enterprise. Business can set up a center where that sorting is done. And very often by persons with limited abilities, who, you know, can do that kind of work without having their mind wander. And so that would be the responsibility of a private enterprise. And I think the city needs to move away from being responsible for things like that. So that, you know, it would be the second issue. The other issue I'm concerned about is the fact that seniors generally don't have a voice. I'm a senior, and I am very aware that the senior population or demographic makes up in the last census in 2016, seniors 65 plus outnumbered the 15 and under demographic. And that's never happened in history before. Mm-hmm. So there's seniors that are there, but they're not getting a voice. I would, if I was elected, be the only senior citizen on council, and perhaps for a long time. And certainly that is the case now. So that, along with the whole issue of being honest, being accountable, having integrity, those should be things that we just take for granted. But it's a little bit like common sense. I would say it certainly isn't common anymore. And so I would want to bring those issues that, you know, we would expect people would do, would like to bring those to a city council table.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are all great things. I would align with you there as well, I believe.
Yeah, that's fantastic. You traveled with your wife to, was it?
Macedonia.
Macedonia, yes. to help with Syrian refugees, correct?
Yes, correct.
Yeah, could you tell us a little bit about that?
I could. First of all, I want to say that it was probably the most difficult thing I've ever done in my life. Mm. I've spent a lot of time in Eastern Africa and seen a lot of things that we would, you know, rather not even think about, mm-hmm. people dying of HIV AIDS, et cetera, et cetera. But being in a refugee camp that was set up for about 150 people and had over 500, and it happened to be the rainy season, and there was mud literally to your ankles. And people were trying to keep warm by burning any object they could find, including their own clothing, just to stay warm enough. And just to see the desperate look in people's eyes, being chased out of their country through no choice of their own, and then being stuck in a country that didn't want them, and all of the EU arguing about who should take who. And as we know, ultimately ended up that they didn't take anybody. I mean, not, I should reword that. They stopped taking people. And so other than countries like Germany, which was overrun by people to the point where it was way too many. So it was a really, really difficult experience. Having said that, we met some fine folks there. We met actually three siblings who are 24, 20, and 16, who were on their own. They had to leave their parents and grandparents behind. Mm-hmm. And so we have become good friends with them. We relate to them on a regular basis by email and by phone, and so we're trying our best to sponsor them. So, yeah, it was something that really opened our eyes to the plight of people that are displaced, and there's some millions of people that are in that state. And so to be able to walk with someone and put a name to a face was really, really important for us.
Wow, that sounds like amazing work. And, you know, I think both Ben and I would like to thank you for the work that you have done and continue to do with vulnerable citizens. It's a huge thing for us. So thank you very much from both of us. And Ben, I think you have the next question for us. It takes us a little off track from that.
I'll move us forward. Obviously, we are most of the episodes of our podcast focus on the arts, not only within the community, but with outside as well. But we know that there's a hot button issue in Lethbridge at the moment is the fine arts facility. And we know that the design and planning phase for a new performing arts facility was brought forward to council. Is this something you're in favor of being built in the city, or do you have any thoughts on that already?
I do, absolutely. And it's something that has to be done. I think we're way behind on that. We have a facility of sorts. Certainly, it was an excellent facility probably back in the 60s, maybe 70s. I'm not sure. But it has served its time. And really, arts is so important in a community, and it is in ours as well. Other than giving an opportunity to experience the arts ourselves by attending different concerts and so on, it also employs a lot of people. It gives people opportunity for artistic expression. And so in my sense, I don't like to use the term no-brainer, but I'm going to. It is simply a no-brainer that we need to move forward with an arts facility. And I do know that not everyone will be in favor. There are those that are not, involved or invested in the arts community, but there's so many that are. And so it is an issue that has reached past its due date, and we really have to move forward on an arts facility.
Fantastic. Yeah, I'd have to agree with you there.
Yes, absolutely. We just did a little follow-up for that. So, so far, the capital investment project for the city has carved out $7 million for the design and planning for the Performance Arts Center between 2018 and 2021. However, there's the Municipal Sustainment Initiative that's provided by the province that gives our city millions of dollars. However, that's set to expire in 2021, so right at the end of the planning and design phase, and there's no alternative in place to replace it or an extension as we know it right now. So if this expires and there's, or perhaps the funding isn't as much as we think we're going to get going into the future from the Municipal Sustainment Initiative, do you think that this is a project that the city may need to scale back on, or if not, where would you see the funding coming from?
Yeah. Well, I think it should be the opposite of scaling back. I think they should ramp it up. And one of the things that has to happen, and in the work that I do, as I may have mentioned, I'm the executive director of the local soup kitchen. We have to plan ahead. We know that we have to make applications for different grants and so on. And when we see that we're going to be running short, and this is certainly the case with this project, we need to start now. Rather than wait till 2021, we need to start looking ahead for funding that could be in place. And I do think it should be provincial government to an extent. I don't think the federal government really has, can I say, that much interest in what's happening in the smaller cities in Alberta. I hope that's not true, but I have a feeling that could be true. I think we have to tap into whatever resources are available in the province. And I think we should go to the private sector as well. I think there are lots of organizations that would love to invest in the community because they would benefit themselves in the long run. And there's nothing that looks better to an organization than to see that they invest in community long term. This is not a building that would last for a few years. It would be a long term, long before it'll last much longer than you and I will last on this earth, especially me. And so I think we need to really move forward and start making plans for any time period beyond that, but start doing it now.
Absolutely. And sorry, I just wanted to add a little bit in that. The city is currently renovating the Yates Theater at a cost of around $13 million. How do you feel that plays in the whole discussion amongst a new performing arts center?
Well, I think it's a little bit like your own home. You know, you may be planning to build a new home in 5 years, but the home you're in still needs to be repaired, and you can't allow it to deteriorate to the point where it's not useful. I think there would be other uses for that building. I think our city will experience considerable growth. We're seeing it already. I don't think there would be any problem, if I can put it that way, with having a second building if we needed it. I think we are way too quick in comparison to places like Europe, for example, where they will keep their buildings forever, and we think if something's 100 years old, let's get rid of it. So I think it's important to spend the money. You know, it's unfortunate that it's that expensive, but at the same time, to maintain what we have to put money into it. It's like, you know, in investing in the future, both in that building and, of course, then putting new monies into a new structure. I don't think it would necessarily be on the same site. I would be surprised. And so I think we maintain what we have. We don't only look forward to new things, but we also maintain what we have in the interim.
Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you very much for that. Excellent. So I think we'll shift gears again. We're trying to cover a couple topics here. So, Ben?
We Cam and I have both been in an in-depth discussion with one of your fellow candidates on,
right.
And they fundamentally oppose a safe injection site within the city.
Right.
When I asked them to explain their position, I was just told that they'd done research and their decision had been made. I was just wondering if you had a view on this, and if you could explain your stance.
I certainly do have a view. One of the reasons for this view is that I see people that are dealing with drug-related issues on a regular basis, on a daily basis.
For sure.
And I know, and even in the front of our building, we often pick up needles there. And, you know, the safety of that, I mean, are you doing that in a way that is quote, healthy to you? Not to suggest that taking drugs is healthy in any way, but are you doing it then in a way that leads to harm reduction for you? And if you're not doing it in a safe, supervised site, there's no way that you can guarantee that it's going to be safe. There's always the argument that if you provide a place to have safe injection, that you're encouraging it. I think that's completely off base. It's a little bit like we used to say years ago that the, you know, young people are having sex anyway, so provide them with, you know, with the required protection, and then that will enhance it even more. And I think that's totally wrong. I think you need to look at harm reduction. I think our city has a facility already in mind. There has been opposition to it, which I, for one, do not understand. I don't support the use of drugs in any way, but I also realize that it's happening. Therefore, you need to protect the people and to keep them alive so that eventually you can move them beyond where they're at.
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that. And one of the things that I have been bringing up is that if you have the facility where they can go for the safety, they're going to go there and be exposed to the resources that they need in order to hopefully stop using, but...
Absolutely, because I don't think a safe injection site will just be that. They walk them in the door, in the front door and out the back.
Yeah.
They're going to make the effort to provide education because they are funded as well by the city, or I'm not sure who they're funded by, mm-hmm. but whoever their funding body is, they're not going to say, just let people come here and do what they need to do or to shoot up or whatever without giving them education at the same time.
Yeah.
I think it's a must. It's something you have to have.
Yeah, and one of the other things, Cam was at the forum last night and I was watching online.
Yes.
And one of the things that came up was there were still deaths. And I don't deny that at all. But I mean, just because there are still deaths doesn't mean that the people that we save or help are not worth having the facility there either. I don't.
Well, you know, in one way you look at it, there's also deaths in hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
And does that mean that we stop having hospitals because people die there?
Yes.
And they do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we do our best to try to provide, the best possible care. This this harm reduction approach is one that keeps people alive. And so I for one, can't see how anyone could be opposed to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you for that answer.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. It was kind of funny because one of the things that came up last night as well were, what are the hours going to be? And Ben and I were talking, and it's funny because nobody's asked that about the Performing Arts Center.
No,
or what kind of shows are going to be shown there. You know, it's just the fact, we need one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, it's interesting to see what kind of arguments people are putting forward in opposition to this.
Exactly. I was going to say that if people are opposed, they will look for more ammunition, if that's a good word. Mm-hmm. They'll look for more reasons why it doesn't work. And when you bring up the situation of ours, I mean, what they're trying to say is, look, I have heard, and this is not proof that they've heard that, but I've heard this can be open from 9 to 9. Well, I think I heard last night that people say, well, the bars close, at midnight or 2 o'clock. Well, who's to say that people going to bars are the ones that are also doing drugs?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a quantum leap right there. And the fact is, I think a safe injection site will operate in a way that works best for the people that they're serving. It's like a retail store. They're open more hours so that because people are shopping. If people are coming at late hours, I'm sure the safe injection site would increase their hours to make it fit.
Yeah.
Because they're there to help. Yeah.
Mm.
I'll say. In my view, that's a lame argument to say the hours don't fit or even ask what the hours are.
Yeah.
Ben and I completely agree with you.
Yes.
Anything.
Excellent. Thank you. Ben, do you have any other follow-ups for that?
No, I don't think so. He's answered my question thoroughly, I believe.
Excellent. Okay. So another concern that we have is youth in our city.
Hmm.
Ben and I ourselves are both in that 18 to 35 range where we're considered youth amongst census takers.
I'm guessing a little closer to 35 than 18.
Yes.
Well, yes, we noticed that, I mean, in the last election, there was 28% turnout amongst all voters, and young youth voters it was almost embarrassing, the turnout on it. Do you think that it's the role of city council to engage young citizens in municipal politics? And if so, how do we do that? I know that a proposal was brought up at a provincial meeting to lower the municipal voting age to 16. Is that the right way to go?
No, I think it starts at home. I think part of the problem is that we have moms and dads are not voting either.
Mm-hmm.
And if moms and dads aren't voting, what example are they setting for their kids? I think an issue like voting should be discussed at the kitchen table. It really should be something that parents should engage their younger children, and in fact also the voting age, that this is your responsibility. This is not really an option. So I think it starts there. I'm not sure that you can mandate anything by the city saying, you need to be doing this, because it's coming from the very people that are asking you to vote for someone to serve them or older people.
Yeah.
And I think, too, that election campaigns are boring for young people. I really think they are. I don't think that many of us really are are paying much attention to the youth voter because, A, they don't come to any of the meetings. They don't come to the forums. We don't engage them. We don't see them as having that significance that they could vote because they haven't been. And I think if we made election campaigns more exciting, more people would be engaged. I had an email yesterday from a grade three teacher. I was really amazed at that. He asked me to, respond to some questions he had. And what they have decided to do, and I didn't hear of this organization. I can't remember the name, but they come into school and they set up a polling station with the exact names of the people that are running. Ask the people like myself to give them some of their key points in their platform, obviously at the grade three level, and then they vote. And then when it's all done, they compare their vote with what the actual vote was. And I think that is a start. You started in grade two or three, and that's when it becomes normal and natural. They are invested because they are voting. They're going to compare their own vote. That's where you start. And then you will get them when they're younger people. I also think that we should have a forum or two in a high school. Now, that's got to be arranged by the high school, by the principal, not by us, because we are coming there with vested interest. We're looking for their vote. But if that was done in a high school setting, the teacher, the principal would set up an actual forum and invite individual people like myself or others to come to school to share what this campaign is about. I think that would garner some interest. So I think the responsibility lies with the parents. It relies with the school system. It relies on us as candidates to make it more exciting.
Excellent. Perfect. Yeah, that answered all the supplementary questions that I have in there. So.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to take your questions away from
you. No, that's fantastic. That means that it's been on your mind and you've been thinking about it. So I'm glad to hear that.
Great.
Excellent. So, Ben, you our final question, actually.
Yeah, we have one more question. Not actually really related to art or our youth at all. It was just something that that came up last night and we were thinking of, and a friend of mine actually mentioned it to me. It's about the airport upgrades. Would you be in favor or opposed to a partnership between the County of Lethbridge or the City of Lethbridge taking ownership of the airport to start upgrading? Or how would you go about that sort of thing?
Well, I think most cities have something called an airport authority, and that is made up of various representatives from the city, from the county, from private business, from private individuals. But, you know, to be honest with you, I doubt that a whole lot's going to happen in the near future. Part of it is our city is too small. If I were working or being the president of WestJet or Air Canada, I know Air Canada is here already, but really there is the I was going to call it the ridership. I don't know what it's called when you're the customer base is not large enough. I really, as much as I would love to be able to fly out of here and go somewhere, I can, but it's on a 9-seater or a 10-seater. And upgrades to the airport is not going to make that difference. It's going to be the amount of people we have, those that are willing to use the service. And to be honest with you, I don't think that our city is large enough to really put much effort into that at all, as much as I think it's important. I think that's something down the road. I think we have much more important issues to deal with. And we can drive to Calgary. It's really not a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, to with good highways. So I would not be overly supportive of an effort to expand the airport, regardless of who's involved. I think it's I think it's immature.
Right.
In my mind.
Yeah, I'm almost on the same plane there. I don't know how much an upgrade to the airport would, like you said, bring in other airlines. It's just too small, and we have other outlets closer that do a fine job as well. And last night, I don't actually remember who it was. That mentioned that you can't go to Great Falls to fly out for $60 or whatever it was. But I don't. I don't see a problem with that if it gets you where you need to go and you're doing it the cheapest way possible.
I do like the one thing you said. I'm especially fond of puns. And when you said I'm on the same plane, I really like that.
There you go.
Excellent. Perfect. Well, I think that's all the questions that we have right now. Is that it for you, Ben?
Yeah, I think so. This is you're the first counselor we've had on, first person we've had on, and
oh, good.
Yeah, I think it went fairly well.
Maybe you should make me the last, and then I'm the only one.
It just might be. We'll see.
Yeah, that's good. If nobody else says yes.
Yes.
Well, you know, I really appreciate you doing this. I have to admit, I don't necessarily keep track of podcasts. I'm
that's
an
fair.
Older person. I don't know all the latest jargon when it comes to the various different media types, but thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. I'm excited to be in the running. I am just anxious to serve. I think I have a little bit to offer. If nothing else, I've lived on this earth a bit longer than most people running, or all people running, and so I think that has given me a bit of an inside track. I also enjoy people. I enjoy young people as much as old people, because we have 12 grandchildren, so we know what it's like. And we actually, the oldest two are actually 15 years old. So they are to the stage where they're starting to talk about election. And this decision to run has been really something for them, because they say, look at our papa is running.
Mm-hmm.
And it immediately tweaks their interest in what's happening, even if nothing else for selfish reasons, to see how I might do in this campaign. So it's fun. It's been great fun. So thank you.
Yeah, no, excellent. Thank you for coming on, and I wish you the best of luck in the rest of the election.
Yeah, and if I were to want to hear this, where would that be? Or if I were to direct
You can hear it on iTunes. We're on Facebook, so you can find the link through there, through the Sightlines. It's on Facebook, and yeah.
Sure. Great. Well, thank you for that. I'll make sure I direct some people that are interested to that. And thank you both first of all, to one of you for being there last night and for asking some, really good questions that caused us all to think. And I was happy that you weren't the one that asked the question about chickens last night.
Okay. I can't let you go without asking you.
Okay. That's kind of why I brought it up. I thought it was kind of funny.
I am with you on this. First of all, I think it's an extremely silly thing to ask at one of these forums. I didn't think it was a valid question, but I'm with you. I don't think they should be allowed in backyards.
Well, if you don't remember, for those of you that don't remember what happened last night, it was funny. Obviously, we were given some of the questions in advance.
Yeah.
I admit I didn't look at them that close, because I kind of like to be surprised sometimes. But the first three or four people that came up said, well, I hope I don't get the chicken question.
Yeah.
So they
And
so
yeah, the anticipation was building in the audience.
Yeah, it was.
That way. Yeah.
I think that's why he finally caved and gave you the question. He just needed to get it out of the way.
Just get it done. And my response, I'll just say it again, just for those that might not have heard that. For me, a farm animal belongs on the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all there's to it. And, you think about how, like, for example, we live in London Road area, mm-hmm. and our houses are, I could reach over to the neighbor's house. Open the window for them if they wish for me to do that. And if I had chickens in the backyard and they were right there, I mean, like I said, if there's a chicken, there's a rooster, and all likelihood, at least there should be. And roosters have this tendency to make a noise in the morning. I think it's called crowing. And I'm, for one, I'm an early bird, but not 4 o'clock when the rooster decides that it's time to wake the world.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that would be just silliness to have animals in the city. Because what's next, a donkey?
Yeah. I'm with you there on the chickens thing.
Yeah.
All right.
I felt kind of funny. It maybe didn't mean much, but it's always good to end things on a light note anyway.
True.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much, Bill. And like we said, best of luck in the runnings here.
Right. And all I need is your vote. So thanks.
All right. We'll be there for sure.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
I said already, but I liked the articulation of the points as well, because, like I said, in the interview, there was an instance of just, this is my decision and no reason why. So I like that about him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
No, and I think he brings up, points with recycling, where it's the partnership between the city and private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And then through, again, poverty reduction initiatives and mm-hmm. through
it was a wide spectrum of issues that he wants to cover. And I like that, because it's not, you and I both advocate for the arts, but it takes all kinds to run a city or have a,
Absolutely. As much as we advocate for the arts, it's not our only concern. So it's nice to see that counselors with more than just a single issue
yeah.
that they're running on. So
yes, yeah. I mean, I think if you had anyone who didn't have more than one issue, that guy's a dope. So,
yeah, that's fair. And that is not Bill.
That is not Bill.
No, Bill is great. Mm. So,
yeah,
fantastic. Yeah. No, I think that's fantastic. I think it'll be interesting to see what some other candidates have to say. Mm-hmm. I know we have a few more lined up, and potentially a couple of mayoral candidates. So,
yes.
It'll be interesting to see what comes for Sightlines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And we are going to try it. Now, we know we said this Monday would be, we already said in our last episode what this Monday would be. We're going to try to make that happen. But if the election coverage, as we'll call it, gets in the way of that, we hope you'll understand.
Yes. But yeah, we're going to try to release these either the same day or the day after that they're recorded so that we can be as up to date on our election coverage as possible.
Well, and so, the election is soon. It's on the 16th, correct? Or 14th.
Correct. 16th. October 16th.
October 16th.
And pre-advance voting starts on the 7th. Right. So, I mean, it's around the corner.
We want to get these out there. If you're listening to them, we want to get them out there so you can hear some more personal responses to some questions. And if you have questions, if you're listening to this and you have questions for our upcoming interviews, send them our way.
Yeah, absolutely. But please feel free to share this podcast with all your friends, especially those living in Lethbridge, so that we can get the word out about the candidates and what's going on. And don't forget to like our Facebook page while you're at it. So excellent. Well, I think I'm excited for this election.
Yeah, good. That's good to hear.
Excellent. Perfect. All right. Well, I guess that's it. Shall we do our sign off?
Yes, we shall.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Sightlines with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.
Thank you for listening to Sightline's special electoral report with Cameron Lohman and Ben Price.